was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls.
Welcome back. This is Rectory Public, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Well, that was a pretty heavy first hour. You know, we all have a responsibility. These responsibilities we have, if you have kids out there like I have one, I want to leave this place a better place than it is now. We have some major things going on in Charlotte. They've declared a curfew, called in the military. People are acting the fool. We have hacked messages from Black Lives Matter, who met with Loretta Lynch and Obama in the Oval Office, and we know who Soros has been housing in the summer of chaos. We have opposition, and I think the perfect political climate of antagonism of the first non-Bush Republican nominee, or Bush-related, controlled or connected in, what, some 30-some years. And some say that Donald Trump is all part of the agenda. Well, I don't know. I still consider myself a deplorable. I think I was kind of happy when she called us deplorables. I wear that as a kind of little badge of honor, and that has a direct correlation to this Council on Foreign Relations puppet known as Hillary Clinton. But there's some things that are going on behind the scenes that people don't realize, and that some of the people that Trump has vocally supported in foreign policy matters are Council on Foreign Relations members themselves, such as its chairman. This disturbs me greatly, because I know, unfortunately, I wish sometimes I could unknow the things that I know. Mm-hmm. Because I so badly want to believe that we have someone who might just step in and smash this Marxist rise that we see going on. But I see things that concern me greatly. It is my due diligence. It's my duty to inform people of these things. You see, if I were to just go along for popularity, like a lot of other people do, I would not be able to sleep very well at night. And at least I can, when I put my head on a pillow after I've spoken to my audience, I can sleep like a baby. There are things that disturb me. Your thoughts, Carl, Lori?
Yes. Oh, listen, I just wanted to say this. We cannot look to the source of our problems for any answers.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, knowing that, and knowing how this nation was formed at the local level.
Yes, it was.
As a republic.
As a republic, granted.
Yep.
It was formed at the local level, and it's going to be taken back at the local level.
No, because you have the democracy word being thrown out when I'm private.
Oh, I hate that word.
I do too. It makes me sick every time I hear it.
You get her a microphone.
It's all funded by Soros, the democracy now. That's why they want the word out there. Democracy, democracy, democracy.
Oh, right. I know it.
And you know, Tom, with what you were saying about the situation in North Carolina, because a lot of these riots were going on, a lot of people are under the misconception that it was a black man murdered by a white cop. That is not accurate. Nope. It was a black police officer. It was a black man. No book was found on the site, and a gun was found. And that was shown in a video, by the way. You did see a gun down on the side. Now, other than that, I can't speak for the other stuff, but this illusion that it's white cops killing black individuals, that's just a reason to use this mob tactic of Soros in order to fuel the flames, and then of course to try to create a martial law environment. And as you know, we've been in a soft form of martial law since the 30s, but really since Lincoln.
And 1861.
Guys, look, we're gonna have to do something here, because you know what we're talking about are more and more crisis oriented symptoms of the disease.
Yeah,
and you know, if we don't stop talking about these symptoms and start going after the disease, we're just gonna waste our time and spin our wheels. So let's focus on what the disease is. The disease is the corporatization of Washington, D.C., and whether you say it happened in 1878 or whatever, I really don't care at this point. You know, as Clinton would say.
At this point, what difference does it make?
Yeah, what difference does it make? You know, really, we need to fix what's here, what's in front of us. That's our legacy to our children. So whatever you want to perceive the issues to be, forget about them.
That's one of the things that I was going to talk about, because a lot of the individuals are aware of the Posse Comitatus Act, and they're sending military into North Carolina. Where are the militia to try to stop this? Because that's the lawful thing to do.
Look,
a lot of them are. Yes, you're right.
Hillary will have her way, and they will be in jail. Sure. Look, again, at some point, you're going to have to live and let God. At some point. And, you know, there's nothing that you or Tom or I can do about what D.C. keeps trying to foister on us. There is nothing except what we do at the local level. When we bring our county back into compliance, mm-hmm. when we bring back public servants, I'm telling you, when we bring back the grand jury, all of this gets laid to waste in a New York heartbeat. Thank you very much, Donald Trump.
Absolutely, because the corrupt will start going to jail, stuff will start getting fixed, and the people who are usurping where they're supposed to not be at, BLM and National Park Service and IRS and anybody else with an anagram that you want to talk about.
The CIA and the FBI.
All of them. You can go right back to your 10-mile square. And if you don't want to go by the Constitution, by all means, use your own code for U.S. Code 72. We'll gladly give you your code just to make you smile. Mm-hmm. So, you know, either way, it's not only listed in the Constitution for the United States, the corporate bylaws, but it is also listed in their coding system as well. They just, I guess, haven't read those. Just saying.
I have to wonder if at the end of my presentation at one of these grand juries, I'm going to remember to bring up the issue of Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8, and Article 10, or Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because, sure, we found evidence that the original 13th was ratified. Okay, we've got a lot of stuff, evidence to point to that. And, of course, the bar card carriers will, you know, use that as a debate point and just do whatever they do and craft their words and everything and weasel and squirm and, you know, do we cheat them and how, you know, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
They will do that. That's to be expected.
Oh, yeah.
But there are certain aspects to what we're talking about here that transcend their ability to control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the people that they cannot control. And the last bastion for that control happens to be at the grand jury. Now, you know, I think I've told you about this before, but let me remind people that there is one Lieutenant Commander Walter Francis Fitzpatrick who sits in jail right now.
Yes, because
of what he found in one grand jury in Tennessee. And as it turns out, it wasn't just that one grand jury. It was many, if not most of them, across the state.
And he's an amazing man. For individuals who have not heard about his case, go on YouTube, type in his name, because it is an amazing case.
Yeah, he was arrested. As a matter of fact, I was arrested on the same charges. But, you know, they wanted him, I guess. But here's the bottom line. In the constitutions of some of the states, not all of them, but at least in Tennessee, they had a little thing in there about how the grand jury members could only be on the grand jury for a maximum term of 2 years, and then they had to be off for 2 years, right? I mean, that's kind of like a normal search situation, especially in small counties. Well, as it turns out, the grand jury foreman for the Madisonville, Tennessee grand jury had been in that position for 25 consecutive years.
What?
Oh, yeah. If you've never heard of that case, Tom, you really need to see that case. I'm serious.
So don't think for a minute that the powers that be, as represented by your favorite bar card carrying devil worshippers, don't think for a minute that they didn't realize the weakness in the system that is out there. The weakness is us. If they couldn't control us, then all bets are off.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like I need a few good men, Carl.
You know, that's what Walt said to me. He said, I threw my body across the barbed wire. I need you guys to follow me in here.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
He sure did. Amazing man, Tom. Amazing man. Very amazing man.
I've never stopped working because of him. Never. And I'm hoping that one day the vindication he is due and the righteous justice that he is due will be his.
I agree.
So I'm going to have to call it an evening here because it's been a wild week, bit of a roller coaster with the efforts we've been involved in.
No, I get you, Carl. It was good to have you.
Thank you very much for joining us and letting the listeners know the new things that are going on. And, you know, send me that information, the exact article or ad, if you will, and the names of all of the media organizations that refuse. And if you've got contact information for them, be sure to give that to me, too, so that I can contact them and find out why they're not taking ads.
Well, I said it in your Skype, and you and Tom can both see that. And that is the actual letter that was going out there. So you have that, and you can
read
that. It's a beautiful piece of work, by the way. And thank you, Judge Nally, for putting this together for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amazing man as well. I would be honored to be able to meet him, and we'll be meeting with him soon and getting together with another interview to get it all out there too.
He's a plethora of information.
Absolutely.
Listen, guys, good night and God bless. I will be in touch with you soon, I'm sure.
All right. Good night. God bless you, Carl. Thank you for coming.
God bless you, brother. God bless you.
Good to hear from you again, Tom. Bye bye.
Yes, sir. You know, folks, I don't ever condone or agree to commit acts of violence against others. I don't agree with violence for violence sake, but the law is the law is the law. It places a man and they're putting us in these positions. As I sit here and I look to the sky and I ask myself, what kind of a place am I leaving for my son? And these are places that men have been and women have been in throughout different times of our history. I think Carl is onto something with the local nature that we need to really take this back on a local level. I agree with him wholeheartedly in that. And it concerns me because it seems as though that there are fewer people out there that have the intestinal fortitude to make the hard decisions. You know, there used to be men like there were in the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, who wouldn't think twice about doing what had to be done for what was right. Now we have indoctrinated people so deeply into this police state mentality, and we have standing armies already. They're not wearing green, they're wearing blue, and I have friends who are police officers, so I'm very conflicted as I sit here and I think about these things. But folks, that grand jury process, that's all we have left. That's the last bastion of freedom, and if we don't do something in each one of our local areas, if we don't get up off our couches, if we don't take some sort of positive action. And when Carl put out the call that Judge Nelly and he were going to effect these citizens' arrests, I drove 6 hours to get there. And I asked other patriots from around the states to do the same. If everyone was just within a few hours, would have arrived and demanded that these people be placed under arrest, and demand that this information be presented to a grand jury. Think about what we were demanding. Are we demanding to walk into a store and rob it? No. Are we demanding to seize someone's property wrongfully and take it for ourselves? No. We're demanding a day in court, and we're demanding that the law be followed. And they're calling us terrorists for demanding such things. These are the times that try men's souls. Again, once again, we've reached this place. That's some pretty heavy stuff right there.
Yeah, it is. That is. And, you know, that kind of, it's just really, really, there's so much going on. And the grand jury is really the last peaceable way for us to not only have these unlawful codes nullified, but real justice to be served. And, you know, we don't want it to have to come to the situation like in the Hopkin-Huggins case, okay? And in the Hopkin-Huggins case, if you don't know about that, in 1709, the English courts had ensconced the common law right to resist an unlawful arrest and traced its roots to the fundamental laws of England. In Queen v. Tolley, Constable Samuel Bray arrested Annie Dinkins for disorderly conduct, and although this charge was found to be insufficient, a group of men, including Tolley, assaulted Bray with swords drawn, and Bray showed his constable staff and declared that he was about the Queen's business. Sound familiar? The group dispersed, only to return again with drawn swords to where the constable was holding Dinkins. The group demanded her release. Bray called for help, from a fellow constable, and when that fellow arrived, he was killed by the accused. The Queen's bench held that the defendants had not committed murder but manslaughter only, and they were apparently pardoned. It stated, the defendants claimed that Bray had acted outside his jurisdiction and without a warrant. As such, they argued he did not act as a constable but a common oppressor. The defendants had been provoked to violence by the sight of such oppression, for it is a sufficient provocation to all people out of compassion, much more where it is done under the color of justice and where liberty of the subject is invaded. It is a provocation to all subjects of England, for as the court concluded, if anyone imprisons a man against the law, he is an offender against Magna Carta and can be resisted as a tyrant. Now, if you want to read more about that, everybody, look up Retail Rebellion and the Second Amendment by Darrell, D-A-R-R-E-L-L-A-H, Miller. Very interesting read.
Well, you know, I do want to make a comment. I made this comment often, but I was reading something on the Barracuda Brigade that just keeps popping up, and it's one of these conservative publications that I subscribed to a very long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And when I went to go click on one of the articles, it said, the Second Amendment is my gun permit. Click like if you agree.
Nope.
I disagree with that. Thank you, Lori. I see. The Second Amendment is a restriction upon government as to where they cannot go and assail our God-given unalienable rights. To protect ourselves by modern tool, the same as any soldier would bear. This is a historic law that goes back, that has its roots into the Scottish law during the Catholic King's rule. Judge Antonin Scalia made that very, very clear. And, you know, you say what you want about some of the members of the Supreme Court. I know of some of their alliances. But the one thing that I so agreed with him about was some of his assessments upon history. And, well, there you have it. The Second Amendment is not my gun permit, nor is a little card from a state, nor is a concealed carry permit. They don't have the authority to permit or deny a free man or a free woman the right to protect themselves. It is their God-given right.
As a matter of fact, they never had subject matter jurisdiction over that in the first place.
Nope, ever. Never did.
Nope.
Interesting thing subject matter jurisdiction is, isn't it?
It is. It is a lovely thing once you, a lot of reading, but once you understand it, oh, let me tell you, it is the key, people. It is the key. And subject matter jurisdiction cannot be given away. Just saying.
Yeah. And the problem is most people, especially with their bar representatives, representing them in court, they go in with an assumption. Well, you know what happens when you make assumptions and presumptions. You make an assumption that they have jurisdiction over your case, and therefore you submit yourself to that jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. You've already pretty much lost before you've started. You challenge that jurisdiction, and they have to prove it. And oftentimes, they cannot.
Right.
And when they're not, it's a wrap, folks. It's that simple. Now, of course, we know that many places, the courts are corrupt and they are ignoring the law. But then again, you have it's your first swing isn't your out appellate process. Sometimes there's a lot more success in the appellate process than there is in the initial process. Courts make time. as human. Anyway, I want to continue on tonight. Now we're going to be going into a break shortly, but and I don't want to say that this is a funny subject.
No,
it's not a funny subject that we're about to broach. However, there is a channel that I have become endeared to. Most of the content from this channel I cannot share on air because of its little slips here and there of the tongue. But coming up, we are going to get into a little bit of the language fight. And I think that one of the things that now that we've covered in the first hour, what we need to do in our local level, the second part to this is you have to have comprehension of what you're fighting. Because if the enemy takes the narrative and you end up talking in the enemy's native tongue, you're going to have your ass handed to you. Well, we have rising in America, and it has been from taken over by academia through the Tax Exempt Foundations, all of that. This Marxist ideology, it's very thick, it's constant, and it's relentless. Many of us use these terms, such as white, black, race. These different terms are not real. What I mean by that, they're not in reality. The requirement for Marxist ideology is a patent dishonesty. You'll hear the term sometimes, a social construct. Well, there's a reason why they use that term construct. That means to build, right? Of course, they had to build it because it didn't exist to begin with. So they had to make it up. So when you hear the term social construct, realize that what you're hearing is the creation of a foreign subversive ideology. Through ideological subversion, which is something that you remember Yuri Bresmanov, Lori, the Russian defector.
The name sounds familiar,
yeah,
but
he did a presentation. I'll share some of that tomorrow night. Yuri Bresmanov shared what he called ideological subversion or active measures.
Isn't he the one that went into detail about how they were working to take over the United States of America? Yes, I know who you're talking about. Absolutely.
And what we see, the reason I bring that up is because what we see happening in Charlotte with the military being called out.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It is normalization, folks. That is what it is. It is getting you used to the fact of seeing the military respond to domestic crises.
Yep.
Anyway, when we get back, we will cover the unconscious bias is the new patriarchy. We will be back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
Hang with us, everyone.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me 60 seconds and I'll give you directions to the Fountain of Youth. Okay, I'm joking. Well, kind of joking. No fountains, but youth, I got. Nature's Youth and their premier anti-aging product, Nature's Youth RSF. With your sensible diet and exercise plan, Nature's Youth RSF can help you look and feel better. RSF is an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. And elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. Let's be honest, who doesn't want to look and feel younger? Visit the newly designed website at naturesyouth.com or call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923 and like them on Facebook and you'll be included in contest and exclusive offers. What a deal. Oh, speaking of deals, my time's about up. 800-333-6923 or naturesyouth.com. Who needs a fountain anyway? Call today.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back! It's the Public Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, what I'm about to share with you is an individual. He goes by the name of Undoomed. And I wanted to leave you with a couple chuckles tonight. I didn't want to be so heavy, but he does point out the cultural Marxism in America.
Hey, everyone, and holy shit. Once again, it's Computing Forever stepping in for Undoomed. Thank you very much for having me. Now, you know, my feminists these days don't tend to use the word patriarchy all that much, mainly because it's outstayed its welcome. It's hysterically paranoid and conspiratorial, even for feminists. So what they've done is they've introduced a new phrase called unconscious bias, which works both to replace patriarchy and internalized misogyny. It fulfills the role of both of those phrases. And today I've got a TED talk, a TEDx talk actually, so that's not nearly as good as a TED talk. But anyway, I've got a TEDx talk about unconscious bias. Strap in.
This year, Equal Pay Day fell on April 14th.
Oh God. Okay, so I know immediately a huge amount about where this conversation is going to go. We're beginning already with the belief in the gender pay gap. Oh dear. Okay, so Equal Pay Day, horseshit celebration of absolutely nothing, created by feminists who believe in the pay gap. That's it. Okay, we already have anti-discrimination acts, equal pay acts, enshrined in law in the United States and in the Western world. We don't need to have a day to raise awareness of why women tend to gravitate towards lower paid fields and then blame that on men as if it's a conspiracy to pay women less money overall. I'm going to have to explain the gender pay gap at some point here, haven't I? Again. I'm going to have to explain it to Undoomed's audience. I'm preaching to the choir. You already know that this is bollocks. How did this TEDx video slip through the cracks? This is from last September.
And my daughter Kate, who's a freshman in high school and here with us today, wanted to participate and raise awareness about the pay gap between women and men.
Absolutely, your daughter can raise awareness of the gender pay gap, and she can tell girls that the reason why they're going to be paid less than men is because they usually work less hours overall. They go into less dangerous occupations, less technical occupations that pay more money, less skilled labor. And because many of them will become mommies, they will go into jobs with more flexible hours. They will value work-life balance over anything else, over their careers, for example. But let's just ignore that because patriarchy, I mean, unconscious bias.
So she made herself a t-shirt. She's got it on. Women like men, only cheaper.
Insultingly unfunny. Dumb and insultingly unfunny. Holy crap. I know that you don't understand how basic economics works. Feminists, how many times do we have to explain this to you? If women were genuinely cheaper than men, okay, if there's a big conspiracy where all 3 point something billion of us men get together every weekend, we all get together in a massive room, and we're there going, okay guys, take a knee. How are we going to screw over the women? How do we screw over the women? Okay, if that was actually happening, why the hell would any boss, any hiring manager, why would any company hire men if women are cheaper? Their goal will be to drive down costs to increase profits. Explain that to me. Wear a stupid t-shirt, look like a stupid person. Okay, that wasn't that funny, and it wasn't deserving of an applause.
And since she's a freshman in high school, of course, she immediately snapped a selfie and posted to Instagram. Later that day, I got a series of texts, and someone neither one of us recognized had taken over the comments on her post.
Taken over the comments on her post? You mean they'd shitposted a dozen times or so? You couldn't block them? You couldn't just ignore it? No, they'd taken over. They'd taken over the comment section.
Comment 23. Feminists can't take a joke.
And ironically, in the next sentence, you're going to prove that. I mean, look at your sanctimonious face here.
Comment 65. I'd call you a feminazi, but that would be an insult to Nazis.
It's actually really good. See, this is my point. Look at your face. The reason they do this, the reason they goad you like this, is because they know they're going to get this reaction from you. This is why they say these things. You're proving their point. Feminists have become nothing more than narcissistic, whiny harpies. And people know it's easy to rile them.
Comment 102. Feminists recommend faking rape.
This is actually worth talking about because feminists believe there's a rape culture in the West. Well, we're importing one from the Middle East. That's very true. But there isn't one here natively. Okay? There isn't one. Doesn't exist. What we do have, however, is a culture of rape hoaxes across college campuses, and we've seen plenty of examples. And what do feminists do? They claim that, okay, just because this particular hoax that we made up and pulled out of our asses was once again proven to be wrong, doesn't mean we should throw out the narrative. I mean, it's happening somewhere in the Western world, right? No, it's not. Throw out the goddamn narrative. It's a lie.
As I'm doing the mom freak out, I'm also getting really angry. Because I gotta tell you, when I graduated from college in 1991, I thought we had this all fixed.
I thought we had all this fixed. I thought we had it fixed that nobody would be allowed to disagree with us, especially men. I thought we'd introduced a mind control brainwashing law that prevented people from posting mean things on the internet. What happened, guys? What happened?
I mean, I'd grown up being told I could be who I want, do whatever I aspired to do.
You still can?
And then in the 70s and 80s, everything changed. We saw the Equal Pay Act, the Federal Civil Rights Act, Title IX, women's workforce participation went through the roof, saw the biggest closing of the pay gap, women started earning more college degrees than men.
I love this. I love how she also nonchalantly says, women were earning more college degrees than men. Like, this is okay. Like, it's about time that we not only smash that glass ceiling, girls, but we also just smash men in general. That men suffer. It's not enough that men and women earn 50-50 college degrees. Now, women have to earn more, because more is the new equality. Unfucking believable. This is how you know feminism is nothing but a female supremacy movement. And now it's gone so extreme that women are more likely to go to college than men, actually. So that's even more hardcore than it is right now. In fact, in the UK, the BBC reported that a baby girl born now in 2016 is 75% more likely to go to third level education than a guy. Who's going to be having kids when the women are going to have to focus exclusively 100% on their careers, doing all the heavy lifting of society, and guys are unemployable because they didn't go to third level?
And then somehow, we stalled. Just as I was getting started. Because in the 90s, women's workforce participation leveled off.
The closing of the pay gap slowed to a crawl. Could it be that women went into certain roles because of affirmative action, and then realized when they got into them, they weren't for them? See, this is the thing. You are now denying sexual dimorphism between men and women. Studies have already demonstrated that men and women tend to gravitate towards different tastes, interests, toy preference even.
We looked at babies who were one day old. And again, we presented them either with a mechanical object or a face to look at, and filmed how long does the baby look at each of these two objects. And we find that more boys look longer at the mechanical object, and more girls look longer at the face, even on the first day of life. So this is before toys have been introduced or various cultural biases or prejudices have been introduced.
And as Karen Strachan has explained,
women are people-oriented, more likely to be people-oriented than men, right? And men are more likely to be thing-oriented than women. So it's the dry sciences, it's the thing sciences, where you aren't dealing with people. And they tried to get more women in chemistry in the UK, right? They tried with basically lowering the standards for women and having a quota system. And so if 100 men applied and 50 women applied, you could only take half the men and you would have to take all the women. What ended up happening at several universities in the UK was they ended up closing down chemistry departments because too many students, mostly women, transferred out of the program because they didn't like it, right? And then they went into psychology or something like that that was more interesting to them. And then those departments weren't graduating enough students, and so they actually closed down programs at several universities. And is that lack of female chemists now caused by gender discrimination against women who want to get in, or is this entire debacle now caused by positive discrimination in women's favor and discrimination that against men that denies them opportunities that they otherwise would have had?
We've stalled in terms of the number of women in leadership roles in the private and public sector.
We stalled in the number of women becoming janitors and sweeping the streets. We stalled in the number of women signing up for the draft. I don't know, hang on, Dave, shut up, all right? Those facts, okay, don't fit into the narrative. We stalled in the number of men working in Montessori. Well, that's just ridiculous. I mean, what man would really go in for that kind of work? It's they're just less likely to because, oh wait, hang on, gender is just a social construct and sexual dimorphism isn't a real thing, so there's no good reason why a man wouldn't. So, oh yeah, yeah. The reason why men don't go into that is because we keep them out of it because men are more likely to be sexual predators, they're more likely to be child rapists and child abusers, they're more likely to be pedophiles. I mean, you can't even have a man sit next to a child on an airplane because there's an assumption that he would interfere with that child somehow. So the flight attendant will practice open bigotry against men and move the child away. But women, the women are wonderful syndrome, says that women could never be pedophiles or in any way hurt children. As for women going to leadership roles, have you ever seen any matriarchal societies? They tend to be visited by tourists, mostly for the fact that they have very little litter, what with the fact that they're still swinging out of trees and living in tribal huts, and the assertiveness, the ambition, the desire to overcome, achieve, conquer, dominate, and ultimately build a functioning civilization, which is imbued in men by their testosterone-powered brain, has given us all of this. Patriarchy, not so bad, huh?
Well, what happened is we took care of a lot of big, important things that we could all see. Intentional things, like separate job ads for men and for women. But we haven't taken care of or even really acknowledged the unconscious bias that still exists about women.
In other words, this is basically your patriarchy. If you think you're not affected by internalized misogyny and patriarchy, you don't realize how affected you are by internalized misogyny and patriarchy. Okay, we've resolved all of the real, genuine sexism issues with respect to women in society. The real, tangible, physical stuff. There's nothing left to resolve. Except making up imaginary ones called unconscious bias. It's just not enough. Women have just not got it good enough. We've got to make it more difficult for men. That's the only way we can make it better for women, relatively speaking. All right, men consciously make sexist decisions against women, obviously, because they're all patriarchal shitlords who are misogynistic. But women are too dumb to realize, apparently. This is what feminists always claim. This is the soft bigotry of no expectations of women. Women are too dumb to realize that they have unconscious biases and they make piss-poor decisions with respect to their life, their careers, and they actually hurt themselves by the decisions they make. If only women thought more like me. I don't like the decisions that other people make. Change the world. Women are exceptional and wonderful and stronger than men, and yet they're too dumb to realize what I've figured out. You are about to be sold snake oil, ladies.
Now ask yourself, when you think of scientists at major universities, do you call up a room full of women? Probably not. That's unconscious bias.
When you think of a room full of school teachers or nurses or healthcare workers or people who work with the elderly, do you think of a room full of men? Probably not. That's unconscious bias.
1983, I'm playing in my first varsity basketball game in Minnesota.
So you're about to be fed a anecdotal, completely subjective experience bullshit story about how she used to play basketball and how she didn't get on very well with the referees because she was a little bit shrill, maybe a little bossy with them. Oh, sorry. Ban the word bossy and all that. Anyway, I'm going to push through this because it's complete and utter crap and just get to the really good stuff.
But no one was coming to them. Everybody came to the boys' basketball games. Both sides of the bleachers are pulled out. Band is playing the fight song. There's popcorn popping at the concession stand in the lobby. The girls' games, only one half of the bleachers are pulled out. No band, no concession stand. And having forgotten everything I learned from the refs, I decide this is wrong and needs to change, and I draw up a petition.
You draw up a petition because you don't like the fact that people in general don't attend women's sports games. Why is this? Okay, well, for that, we actually need to look at culture and women's sports. Yes, of course, we have very famous professional female athletes competing at a high level in their versions of their sports. Absolutely. And there are women who are interested in sport. Absolutely. And there are men who have zero interest in sport. But look at the attendances, the average attendance of male-dominated sports. 90% male in the stadiums. Okay? Now, for very good reasons. Okay? Are women as aggressive, as assertive, as gladiatorial, as competitive as men? No, they aren't. We have to look at averages overall. Okay, there's very good reasons why the attendances are, and the viewership of female sports are so much lower than their male counterparts. For very good reasons. Just compare women's rugby to men's rugby. Okay, you watch a Six Nations rugby game, and it's 50,000 people in the stadium. And there's millions of people watching around the world. And then as soon as the women's game starts after it, there's about 15 people left in the stadium and about 15 people watching on television. Now, why is that the case? Because if you actually look at the quality of the spectacle isn't there. Look at it. It is no better than 15 and 16-year-old boys playing in terms of the physicality, speed, athleticism, aggression. It just completely drops off. It falls off a cliff in terms of all of those attributes. Okay, this show isn't there. It's simple as that. This is the reason why you have professional women's basketball and hockey leagues competing at a high level. Even they train with the 15 and 16-year-old boys' teams and regularly lose. Why do you think that is for basketball, for example? Just as a for instance. Why do you think that is? Is it because the boys tend to be taller, that they can reach the basket a little easier? Seriously? I have to explain to you why women's sports are in no way as interesting or enjoyable to watch. Why the interest level isn't there. I have to explain this to you. This is exactly like those Wikipedia marathons the feminists had when they started editing Wikipedia pages on the sexual differences between men and women. And they started saying, well, the only reason that men develop more upper body muscle mass is because they're socialized to engage in more rough and tumble play. And that girls, if they weren't feminized from a young age, they'd be just as big as men. Here's a little thing I found during the Olympics. Fit but unequal. Take two highly trained Olympic caliber athletes, one man, one woman. Here are some biological differences that may affect their performance. And the difference in their performance is in direct correlation with the interest level that people have in their sports. Okay, if there was a third gender, just to say we lived in a weird and wacky universe where there were three genders. Okay, so there's women, men, and then something stronger again, right? Something stronger and faster than men. That gender would then be the pinnacle in terms of sport. And then men and women would be looking at each other going, how come that other gender? How come they get all the people going to the stadiums? How come they get all the millions of people watching their sports at home? Fuck's sake. Testosterone and other hormones give him a greater percentage of lean muscle, particularly in his upper body. Some research indicates that even his individual muscle fibers are larger. Because more muscle means more power, men's top performance in jumping and sprinting sports, and especially weightlifting and throwing events, greatly exceeds women's. Heart. The man's heart, because of its larger size, can send more blood per beat to working muscles than hers can. His blood can also contains more oxygen-carrying hemoglobin. That translates to greater performance in endurance events.
Because of that unconscious stereotype that women should be nice, when women negotiate for higher pay, they get penalized. Men don't.
This is horse shit. Again, as I said, one of the primary reasons that there's still a pay gap when you remove all other factors, okay, is because women are less assertive and also more risk-averse, less likely to want to engage in an act where they may be rejected. I mean, this is the reason why the male of the species has to make the first move in terms of courtship.
If women are generally the ones that give birth, that lactate, that raise children, it would be very surprising if there wasn't some kind of psychological orchestration that helped women achieve those tasks and made those kinds of tasks particularly pleasurable to women. So things like empathy in women, things like avoiding dangerous confrontations where you may be hurt or injured, things like avoiding social exclusion, being pushed out of the group. All of those are good things. All of those mean that you are more likely to survive and to reproduce and to leave children who themselves also reproduce.
But if you put two words on a job announcement, salary negotiable, you cue women that it's okay to negotiate, and you cue the hiring manager to expect everyone to negotiate.
Oh, God, this is so painful. In other words, women are too dumb to realize by themselves that they should be able to negotiate their salary. They actually have to have, the world has to change, the job ads have to change. They have to have job ads that say salary negotiable. Otherwise, women just, they won't knock on the hiring manager's door, they won't knock on their boss's door and say, hey, you know, boss man, I've been here a while now and I really need a wage increase, right? They won't do it. Men will do it. Men know, of course, but women too dumb to do it. Fucking believable.
Women are not the only ones who suffer from the impacts of unconscious bias. We have unconscious bias about gender, race, age, disability, sexual orientation.
Ah, good old intersectionality is now creeping in. Oh, there's a lot of things that men suffer from as well. In fact, men get 63% longer sentences than women for committing the same crime. Court bias against men is at least 6 times bigger than racial bias. Okay, they face discrimination in the workplace, in politics, in academia, as we know through affirmative action. And of course, they are 97% of combat fatalities. They pay 97% of alimony. They make up 94% of workplace suicides, make up 93% of work fatalities. They make up 81% of all war deaths. They lose custody in 84% of divorces. And they're 80% of all suicides. And 70% of all homicides are men. But we won't be talking about any of those real issues in this video. Let's talk about bullshit unconscious biases. Let's talk about imaginary problems.
We can do the hard work of noticing our own unconscious bias and let go of being right.
Oh, believe me, the fact that you have denied basic facts in this video shows just how much you have let go of being right.
That's the world I want. I want it
for my daughter. I want it for women and men. I want it for everyone. So I hope you join me. We're going to make a great team. Thank you.
We're going to make a great team. Cringe when she says that. Sorry, love, I'd rather not sign up to your cult. But thank you for the offer. And thank you to Undoomed for having me. Feminism repackaged as any other snake oil will smell just as shit. Be sure to subscribe to this channel and, of course, my own. And I'll see you some other time. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh.
Wow,
snake
he did
oil.
A good job. Yeah, he did a really good job of breaking that down.
Yes, and you know the reason that I share that with my audience is, you know, I'm not a male chauvinist in any way, shape, or form, you know, but I'm a little old fashioned. I do believe in opening the door for a lady, and I do believe in, you know, certain traditional roles. But you see, these roles have assured that our species would continue on in the future. And this third wave feminism that we see, this campus feminism, if you want to call it that, I mean, I wish, in a way, I wish that RBN was an audio and visual show, because I have some things to share with people that would just blow their minds out of this. This third wave feminism is a cancer. It's a
well. There's even feminists that are old school feminists that speak out against the new feminists.
Yes, Christina Hoff Sommers, who is a more traditional feminist, and I have no problem with them. I don't completely agree with them either. However, I have a far greater amount of respect for people like Christina Hoff Sommers, who has no problem walking right to the microphone and saying, you know, campus feminism or third wave feminism is not a cancer, but it is insanity. That is exactly what she said, because this is part of the melding, or this the melting of the minds of our youth, and pushing them towards this Marxist ideology, of which they become apologists for being the Trotskyite term of skin tone white. They apologize for what is known as white privilege. They seem to think that Milo Stewart is one of these. I'm gonna be having this because I can't get her on the air because she's just too much of a chicken to do it. But somebody of my own namesake is last name is, who's a little Marxist queen. I'm about to be tearing her apart on a future episode. I can't wait to do it, really, because it needs to be done. This cancer needs to be, we need to take back the narrative. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we've run out of time, folks. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast with Lori Anderson and Tom Lacabara Stewart. Please go to resurrectrepublic.com, click on that PayPal, support the broadcast, support the education, support what we do here, and God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us, and please join us tomorrow. God bless you, and good
night. Tomorrow.
I'm not interested in photo ops. Photo ops.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org, 800-326-2001.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Sin.